When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I am excited for what God has for us. I'm excited for this lesson. I have been poring over this lesson this week and just laboring over it, really. But we'll see what God has. But first, we're going to do our memory verse.
Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Where is it? Proverbs 15, 16. Let's do it again. Come on, you can do it with me. Come on. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15, 16.
Great job! That's a clapping song, you guys.
You want to try it again?
Yes. Yes. All
okay. Here we go.
Stand up. Let's stand up.
Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15, 16.
Great.
And there you go.
And there you go. And you are ready now for what God has for us today. And so, So I did really struggle over this lesson this week. Did anybody read chapter 2 and just go, all right, I'll wait to see. And I confess to you, I was kind of in the same place as I was reading over it and looking at it, praying over it, talking with other people about it. And so we're going to just see what God has for us, okay? And so let's open up our Bibles to Nahum chapter 2, and we're going to read through it. It's going to take us just a couple of minutes to read through it. He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. Remember, that's what got us through 2020, that particular verse. For the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob like the excellence of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots come with flaming torches. In the day of his preparation, and the spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their walk. They make haste to her walls, and the defense is prepared. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed, she shall be led away captive, she shall be brought up, and her maidservant shall lead her as with the voice of doves beating their breasts. Though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, now they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Should be down on them. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color out of fear or death. Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion walked, the lioness and the lion's cub, and no one made them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs, killed for his lionesses, filled his caves with prey and his dens with flesh. Behold, verse 13, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. And so, Father, as we just get into your word right now, Lord, we pray, God, for your direction. We pray, Father, for your word to be spoken. I pray, Father, for nothing of me to come forth, Lord, but everything of you. And I thank you and I praise you for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in looking at this text, I could really see how it was spoken directly to the Israelites, and yet it was spoken as a vision as well. So I know that chapter 2, verse 1, got me at least through 2020. When God told us and gave us the verse for that year, and he told us that we were to the one who scatters has come before your face, I recognized that as the enemy had come before our face. So I was to man the fort, pay attention to what I was doing, watch the road, be careful of where I was walking, strengthen my flanks, which I've been trying very hard to do, and fortify your power mightily. It was a preparation for us, and it carried us through a lot of time. Did it carry anybody else through, or am I just, was I the only one that used this verse? And all right. Okay, good, good. So that did get us through, and if I have some time at the end, I will put this all together so that we can see something different from what I'm going to be talking to you about. So remember, this is a vision. This is what Nahum saw. This is what he wrote down. And so he had written in that book. So remember to write down your dreams, write down the things that the Lord speaks to you. Be sure to write that down so that you can look at it at a later time. Nahum is now describing in our text the events that would lead up to not just the capture, but to the annihilation of Nineveh. This is what he saw. So this is a compilation of what he saw. It is not something that was happening right then. It was not to a particular group. It was what he saw. He wrote down what he saw. And so in verse 1, he who scatters has come up before your face. Remember, this is just Nahum describing what he saw in the vision. So what he saw here is in reference to Cyaxares and Nabopolassar. I had to have it explained to me. I had to have those names pronounced for me, and I'm still working on it, obviously. Cyaxares and Nabopolassar and the armies of the Medes and the Babylonians. So one was from one side, one was from the other. They, the armies of the Medes and Babylonians. That's what he saw here was in reference to these two guys. So here Naaman sees the Mede had already, this is what he's seeing. So if you can get a picture of what he was seeing right now. He was seeing, the Medes were seeing, Nahum was seeing that the Medes had already overrun the countryside of Assyria. He could see the old lion, the king, going into his den, going into his area of protection where he thought that he would be protected and safe. The surrounding areas of Nineveh, he saw, were already full of enemy troops, and the walls and the towers were covered. They were surrounded. The Medes and the Babylonians combined their armies and had moved toward Nineveh along the roads that reached out from everywhere. You remember that Nineveh was the biggest area at that particular time. It was like the world. Everything else came, everybody came there. So there are all kinds of roads leading to Nineveh, all kinds of different roads. These roads, Nahum saw, they were all filled with Nineveh's enemies, the Medes and the Babylonians. He could see the well-fortified hills that drew, there was a bow-shaped rampart around the city that was also, it was already in enemy hands. That's what he saw. But Nineveh had its rivers for protection, right? It had the dams, the dikes. It had the protection of it. It had the moats around it, the line of defense. And Nineveh thought they were protected. They had plenty of water and walls. And they had plenty of water and walls within. In fact, they would go in one wall and then go in another wall. And they really thought that they were protected. They really thought that they would be safe. Even if the outer areas were taken over, they could retreat behind their great walls and hope that the attacking armies would just simply give up. Stop trying because you can't get into there. But what Nahum was seeing was that Nineveh's time had come. The Lord had used them to judge his people, and that job was finished. During their time of being used as judgment by the Lord, by the hand of the Lord, they walked away from God. They were being used by God for judgment of the Israelites, of God's children. And they had gotten way out of line. They had turned their backs on the Lord. The Ninevites had turned their backs on the Lord. And God said, enough. He came to a place and he said, enough. And now the Ninevites had turned their backs on God, and now the wages of that turning was taking place. What are the wages of that turning? The wages of sin is death. And that's about what is to happen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, the emptiers, a.k.a. the Assyrians, had plundered Israel, it says in verse 2. Nahum could hear the Lord telling him to write, man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. And then in verse 3, Nahum could see that the military tunics were all red. He could see that the shields were red. So whether they liked red or their shields were covered with the blood of the Assyrians, we don't know. Or it could just be that the shields were copper and appeared to be red. Whatever it is, Nahum is writing just what he saw. He's just writing what he saw. He could see the bright steel of chariots reflecting the sunlight. Maybe these chariots had knives are sharp objects on the wheels. They would run over people. It was part of what they did when they were destroying people. If someone came across there, they would be cut, they would be torn apart, they would be destroyed. And so what we have here, the chariots with these blades, so they were awful weapons, especially when they were used against their enemies. In verse 4, it says that they were rushing to and fro. They were all over the place. The chariots created havoc and panic in the streets of Nineveh, the blades cutting into pieces anyone that came near to it. Anyone that came near to it. In verse 5, Nahum could see the Assyrian king encouraging himself by calling to mind his nobles and his generals. They had been the ones who had always protected him, who always made him feel safe. They always had a plan. But what Nahum saw was that their spirit had left them. Their spirit was gone. Nahum saw them stumbling as they marched to secure the walls. He saw them breaking down. Their strength had gone. The walls were strengthened by about 1,500 awesome towers, each 200 feet high. So we're talking about a big wall here. But Nahum saw that Nineveh's fortifications would prove to be nothing but a vain defense now that God has decreed the city's overthrow. When God says he will do something, you can depend on it. He will do it. God is a man of his word. We can... It's very difficult to trust anyone because we will all let each other down. I promise you, we will all at one point or another let each other down. But God will never let us down. He is a man of his word. And so these walls, he saw that Nineveh's fortifications would prove to be a vain defense now that God had decreed the city's overthrow. Our God has weapons that can bring down the walls. Can bring down the walls in Nineveh. And God can bring down that wall that you're praying about. Whatever that is, God's bringing it down. You're praying about it. You're putting it before his throne. All of this stuff sounded crazy to the people around Nahum. There wasn't a chance that it was going to happen in their lifetime. But he wrote it anyway. In verse 6 tells us that the way that Nineveh's fall would take place. The gates of the rivers are opened and the palace is dissolved. We talked about that last week. Actually, the Syaxares and Nabopolassar, so the Mede and the Babylonian, joined forces by having the Mede's daughter married the Babylonian son. So they would never be enemies. They would always fight together because now they're family. So they worked together against Nineveh, but and they were strengthened by that. The Medes attacked the city from the north, and the Medes took a big blow when they first went in. They took a big blow as they were entering into there. They came in on the north. They suffered heavy casualties. The Ninevites, now even more full of themselves because of their great victory against the Medes that had just come in on the north, they're having their drunken party. They're going off, and they are playing their games and doing whatever they do. As they are doing that, the enemy took advantage of the lack of discipline. The enemy took advantage of the lack of discipline of the Ninevites. And as I wrote that, I was thinking of how the enemy always takes advantage of our lack of discipline. And God calls us to something more. He calls us to something more. So, as this was going on, so their lack of discipline to drive the Assyrians back behind their walls, and they inflicted serious losses on them. So the Ninevites this time were the ones who suffered the losses. They were all run into their walled area. For now, or so they thought, Nineveh was safe because they were behind their great walls. It seemed impossible that any army, no matter how strong and determined, could breach its walls. But in the third year, but God. In the third year, but God. God directly intervened. It was God who intervened. We talked about it last week. Heavy rains brought on the flood. The city lay on the city was between the Tigris River and the Kasser River ran through the city, and a man-made canal connected the Kasser and the Tigris. The flood would have caused, of course, the waters to rise more than usual. The gates of the rivers were the heavily fortified and guarded gates at the points where the rivers and canal came in contact with the walls. So wherever those openings were, wherever those gates were to let water through, they were heavily guarded so that no one can open them up except the ones who were supposed to open them up. But an interesting thing happened. These gates were opened. A break in these gates would give the enemy immediate access to the city. The gates were opened either by an enemy or by a traitor inside or by the flood water, aka God's hand. And I believe that God's hand opened up those gates and made a way for them to go just as he said it would. Possibly part of the flood waters, part of the walls, as we talked about last week, they came tumbling down because they were undermined. You undermine a wall and it comes tumbling down, right? You've got to have that foundation. Ladies, we've got to have that foundation. We've got to know that we have that foundation in our lives. We've got to know that we know Christ, that we have an intimate relationship with him, so that when these hard times come that are coming, not just coming, that are here right now today, so that when we are living through hard times, we're prepared for them. We have that good foundation. But the foundation was washed out and the walls came tumbling down. In verse 7, it says, "It is decreed, she shall be led away captive." Nahum's prophecy here means that Nineveh itself, stripped of all of its wealth, would be helpless in the hands of its enemy. It was so helpless in that particular moment that the king gave up. "I'm not going to be taken captive," though he set himself on fire, so that he would not be taken captive and he would not be held responsible for allowing his everything to be taken in. So he killed himself, set himself on fire rather than face. And here we have in our text that that's exactly what would happen. And so in verse 9, here Nahum describes the end of Nineveh, the spoils of all the cities overthrown by the Assyrians in centuries of war. They had in their city all of the treasures of all those places. They had so much gold and silver that they would gold plate a table. They would gold plate a chair. They would cover everything with gold or with silver, with all of the stuff that they had taken from another area. But this stuff was going away. The invaders took all the treasure and appeared and apparently carried away all the spoils of Babylon, just like it said it would. In verse 10, she is empty and desolate. Then Nahum saw in his vision that Nineveh was empty, desolate, and waste. Empty, desolate, and waste. Alexander the Great, we talked about him last week. He would walk on top of where Nineveh was and not know that he was walking on top of a great empire. He never found Nineveh. Edward Gibbon confirmed in 1776 in his book on Western civilization that even the ruins of Nineveh disappeared. Even the ruins of Nineveh disappeared. And remember last week we talked about how it became a myth. They said, no, Nineveh never survived. There never was a place called Nineveh. It was just a story. But yet, it was not until Layard and Boda, I think is the name, identified the site in 1842 that the city was rediscovered by the modern world. So 1842, when everybody believes that this is not true, God comes through and says, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just as I said it would be. When it had become a situation of people believing that it was a myth. So in verse 11, where is the dwelling places of the lion? Where is the dwelling place of the lion? That's what Nahum is asking. Where's the dwelling place of the lion? Nahum writes, the lion, the lioness, the young lion, the lion's cub, he covered the whole of all of their population. It seemed that no one could tame this wild beast, Nineveh, but God. Nineveh's kings had boasted, in 2 Kings 18:34, they boasted about, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of another place and Hannah and Iva? Because I can't pronounce that other place. 2 Kings 18:34, Nineveh was asking, where are those? The Assyrians were asking, where are those? Where are those kings at? But now Nahum asks, where is Nineveh? Where is Nineveh? And you know, Nineveh's, or not Nineveh's, Nahum's contemporaries, those who lived at the same time, those who ministered at the same time as he did, Jeremiah and Zephaniah, must have looked at Nahum and thought, what did you have to eat last night? What in the world are you talking about? Something that I read put it like this. There was not even a cloud in the Assyrian sky. When he prophesied this, there wasn't even a hint of its fulfillment. Not even a hint of its fulfillment. We read the Lord's words in verse 13. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. If that's what is what God said and did to the ones who had turned their back on God, what will be the situation against countries today that turn their backs on the living God? God only comes against a people as a last resort and as a result of long defiance and deliberate provocation. It's a last resort. So let me ask a few questions before we go on to some other things. Who is the Assyria of our day? Who is equally determined to rule the world? Who is equally ruthless in war? Who is equally boastful of its power and culture? Who is equally antagonistic to God and the Jew? So who is equally the eventual target of God's wrath? Think about those things. 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct and godliness. What persons ought we to be? In 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. We don't have to worry about God's wrath being poured out upon us. And so as we come to the end of this one, and I think about all of this, and I think about, well, okay, so that's what Nahum saw. So I've just read to you basically, this is what Nahum saw. But this is what the Lord spoke to me as I was reading to it, because how does this affect me today? How does what he saw affect me today? So I'm going to take you back into the scriptures, and I'm going to take us back to Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to start there. Behold on the mountains the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts. Perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off, because he who scatters has come before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, and fortify your power mightily. God is telling us to do something. He is telling us to be ready. He is telling us to be people of our word. He said that we are to be people who keep the vows that we have made, that we will not be utterly cut off if we do that. And he tells us that he who scatters has come up before your face. So strengthen yourself. Strengthen yourself. In verse 2 of chapter 2, for the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob. The Lord will restore you. The Lord will restore you. That is a promise. He will restore you like the excellence of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out. So they're looking at the reality. The emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. They have been completely decimated. They have been completely destroyed. But God said, you will not be cut off, but they will be. Because God deals with those who deal harshly with his children. God will take care of that. God will take care of that thing. The shields of his mighty men are red, and we talked about that, the coming through like trying to scare, flaming torches in the day of his preparation, the spears brandishing and the chariots raging and everyone going to and fro. And for the life of me, everything that I read said that this was possibly a precursor to the car. And I looked at it, I don't see it. It has nothing to do with this. So we move on. So, and in verse 5, he remembers his nobles, and they stumble in their walk. We depended on other people. We have depended on other people. And they are as weary as we are. And so we must depend on God. And so we must trust him. Even though we prepare ourselves, the gates of the rivers are open, the palace is dissolved, it is decreed, she shall be led away captive. Be sure your sins will find you out, and what you do to others will be done to you. Better known as reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what we sow. And I always try to say we rather than you, because that's me too. I reap what I sow. And so they thought they were all great. They had everything taken away from them. Where is the dwelling of the lions? Where is the dwelling of that one who I thought was going to overtake me? The enemy. Where is he at now? What is his destination? To be locked up for 1,000 years. Ladies, we are living in last days. And the more I look at things, the more I realize. And I've been going back and forth over all of this in my head on whether or not to say this to you guys, but I feel like I really need to share it with you. I know that there are some who believe that the mark of the beast is not going to come until we have been taken out. I don't know that that's true. I believe the rapture will happen. I believe that we will not experience the wrath of God being poured out. But the mark of the beast is not the wrath of God being poured out. And so I just want us to prepare today and listen to the Lord today. How can I be strong today? How can I prepare? What am I willing to give up to walk with God? What am I willing to let go of to walk with God? And I know this is a downer. I had rejoice in the Lord always. Again, say rejoice. In the midst of that, we rejoice in the Lord always. But we take it seriously. God has not promised us that everything was going to go smooth. He promised that he would grow us up. He promised us that we would go through some hard stuff. He promised us that we would have all kinds of things happen to us. And I'll tell you, some of the worst things that ever happened to me personally happened after I accepted the Lord. Not when I was walking with the enemy, not when I was walking in the world, but after I accepted the Lord. So, I'm telling you, this is God. God wants you to know this. And I just can tell you right now that this is the Spirit of the living God that's speaking to you right now. So you take it and you do whatever God tells you to do with it. Because I would never tell you something like that if I didn't know that it was God's Spirit speaking. because I want us to be prepared. I want us to stand. Don't want us to walk in fear. We don't walk in fear of it. We walk in the confidence of knowing that we have the one in charge. And he's got this. He's got this. Thou shalt not sweat it is the key here. So that is this chapter, except we get to 13 and God says, behold, I am against you. And that's what God will say to the enemy. He will never say it to us who are following after him. Behold, I am against you, and I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. That is what is spoken to the enemy. There is a day when the battle will be over. There is a time when this is all going to be done, and everything that we looked for, we're going to see in the face of Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have taken us through this time, Lord, and that you have spoken to each one of us something new and something different. And, Lord, that you keep us alert, Lord. Keep us alert and aware to your voice. Help us to walk in confidence. Help us to walk in with courage, Lord, that comes from you. Help us to stand together with you. Lord, for those times when you're carrying us through things, let our confidence be in you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we are called. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace. And so I thank you, Lord. And I honor you, I bless you, and just want to be walking so closely with you, Lord, that my footsteps are right inside your footsteps. Help us to rejoice in you, Lord, and this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus!
For listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.